top trends researcher, publisher, of course, of the Trends Journal, who joins us today. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Thanks for having me on. You know, there's a number of things going on, of course. Everyone's interested in where the markets are going and the geopolitical front.
Here we are about half a foot deep in snow in the Appalachians, and we'd like to discuss the top trends for the new year, 2019. Some of them that I think really will catch the attention of our listeners. The top one on the list, economic 9/11.
Well, what happened on September 19th of this year, we came out with a trend alert warning of an economic 9/11, and that was 2 days before the markets peaked. The reality is, it's not about, as we see it, and again, the motto of the Trends Journal is to think for yourself, it's not about trade wars or tariffs. You know, when you look at the reality, for example, you have Trump's tariffs have taken the grand total of about 0.7% decline on China's GDP. Nothing. And now you're looking at China saying that, you know, we're going to lower that 40% tariff we have on your cars that you sell over here, you import. But if you make them over here, then we give you a bigger break. So the reality is that China, which has a $375 billion merchandise trade surplus with the United States, is not going to ruin that kind of a deal. And who would do a deal like that anyway? So the tariffs, there's going to be adjustments. What the markets are sensitive to are two things. Number one, and primary number one, are rising interest rates. Period, paragraph. They can't take higher rates because the markets have been juiced up since the panic of 08 on massive doses of monetary methadone. And when the interest rates go up and the dollar gets stronger, the markets go lower. That's it. So now what we're seeing is, when you go back to September of this year, we heard the Fed Chair Jerome Powell say that, well, it's going to be pretty strong growth and we're going to be aggressively raising interest rates. And it was figured in that they would do another one this December and 3 to 4 more next year. Now you look at the Fed futures on this, and the odds of it raising 4 times next year interest rates, one each quarter, are around 2%. So you take a trip to India. They just got rid of the central bankster running that show because he didn't want to follow what Prime Minister Modi wanted him to do, and that is to juice the markets with lower interest rates and more quantitative easing. So they got rid of them, and they didn't raise interest rates the last round just a week ago. Same thing in Canada, didn't raise interest rates.
We're going to see another quarter point hop up this month in a week or so, Fed and their benchmark overnight lending rate. But the big thing that investors are watching, as you mentioned, is the 3 or 4 rate hikes next year. You know, we're looking for them to wrap up their rate hike cycle. It should mean we're no longer worried about an overheating economy, and maybe they'll let us transact business as usual. The stock market had a bit of a hiccup recently. Was that the beginning of a new trend, or was that just a bump in the road?
It's the beginning of a trend. The markets have been overvalued and overleveraged. And again, it's all about cheap money, and it's not only in the United States. We have to take a global view. Look what happened in Japan. They just came out with their last quarter GDP numbers, and it's minus 2.5%. This is despite the Bank of Japan holding on to what? Some $5 trillion worth of debt that they accumulated. That's bigger than the Japanese GDP each year. And negative bond yields, and you're still seeing negative growth. Take a look what's going on in Europe. Despite negative interest rates, the IMF, the European Central Bank, they're all downgrading growth. Matter of fact, in Germany, the strongest country in the Eurozone, they're looking for next year growth to be only around 1%. And that's with negative rates, quantitative easing, of course, drying up in Europe. But it's still not enough to boost the global economies. Take a look at China. Look, you can see their car sales last week that came out. They're down 13%. 13%. They never had a drop like this. That has nothing to do with trade. It has to do with people not having money. Their real estate market is going down. Luxury good orders are going down. So it's a global slowdown. The only way it won't crash is when these countries continue to pump in more monetary methadone. And that means keeping interest rates either low, negative, or zero.
And, you know, you talk about monetary methadone, but this sounds like a more harsh narcotic. At some point, investors are going to have to realize we're really just a global systemic economic patient, if you will, in the substance abuse ward. And we've been placed there by, I think, impractical monetary policy. So can you kind of extrapolate forward just where this leads us in 2019?
The market's going for a while if they don't raise interest rates. But again, as we're pointing out, and you alluded to, you know, this is a drug, and eventually you OD, and it keeps you going for a bit, but have to advance naturally. And this isn't advancing on sound economic fundamentals; it's artificially propped up. So what we're looking at is a stage one recession, and the key indicators to look at are the housing market. Not only the housing market, again, in the United States, but also, for example, what's going on in Australia and other countries. And you're seeing slowdowns. You're seeing record slowdowns in new mortgage applications. Take a look at the home builder stocks. You know, a bear territory stock is when it's down 20% or more. They're down over 30% on the home builder sector. So that's telling you where the future's going. Look at car sales. I mentioned not only China, but around the world. Car sales are going down because interest rates are going up. As long as interest rates stay low, we're going to see more of the same. But eventually, something's going to happen with that $250 trillion debt bubble that's ready to explode.
Just read an article yesterday that pointed out the U.S. national debt is very near $22 trillion. I remember when we were concerned by $15 trillion just a couple of years ago. At what point does this debt bubble get out of hand, and what might that mean for the economy?
It's when you have a wild card event that happens that crashes a market, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in China, whether it's in the United States, something like a wild card event, and that wakes people up to the debt bubble. People aren't tuned into it now, even though they're struggling with debt as well. When you're looking at consumer debt in America being at record levels, look at student loan debt, well over $1 trillion. You know, young people starting out in their lives with on average of college debt being at $30,000? That's unbelievable. And what do you have to show for it? A degree in worthlessness? When you're looking at, for example, 32% of the people that graduate with college degrees are holding jobs that require no college degree. Look at the housing among millennials. They can't afford to buy it. They're still living with mommy and daddy. So this is very serious, but it'll take an event to wake the people up to it. Just kind of like in a personal life. You know, you're talking about a debt bubble and taking on more debt weight. You know, I have a honorary doctorate of law from the National University of Health Sciences for the work I've done in complementary and integrative medicine. And the first book I worked on back in the mid-1980s, it was a Warner book called Natural Healing. And it's really quite simple, but it takes work to stay in shape. And particularly when you look, for example, at what's happened in the United States and what the people are eating, and they're eating a lot of junk food. And you look, for example, at the levels of consumption in the junk food industry, and they virtually exploded. I mentioned how low the obesity rate was in the 1960s. Go back to the 1970s even, and the whole fast food industry was only around $6 billion. Today, it's over $200 billion. Go into any supermarket. They talk about, you know, the growth in organic foods, etc. Yeah, sure, they're growing. It's minimal. You go into any supermarket, you see a small organic section and rows of junk food. So if you are what you eat, could that determine where the country is going, physically, spiritually, and emotionally?
So let's stay away from refined foods and return to raw. It's in that raw food that we lower inflammation, and inflammation is at the heart of virtually every illness or dis-ease. For folks that are listening that have been stuck, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, in sales or, you know, I don't know, local police officers, whatever, your truckers. A lot of people listen to the radio, listen to our show online, and they really just don't have access to exercise to start that battle, to get back in shape. Very quickly suggest intermittent fasting. It's something that no matter what state you're in, if you can't physically exercise, because as we become middle-aged, physical exercise becomes a lot more challenging. And sometimes we have injuries and whatnot, and it's very hard to shed those pounds and fight that diabetic tendency. Intermittent fasting is, I really think, the key. It's something that anyone can get involved with, and then once the body sheds so many pounds, you can start to exercise. Back on economics, in your economic 9/11, you point out that we're seeing the potential for equity meltdowns worldwide. This could lead to a recession. We didn't really touch on that. A lot of folks on the show have pointed to, some of our top guest pundits are looking for a recession, some for a crash, whereas the Stansberry Institute, the Dow's going to 50 or 100,000.
You know, that's their forecast and they're entitled to it. We don't see it happening. Again, we were the first magazine, the Trends Journal, to call the Trump rally in November of 2016. We said it would rally throughout 2017. I've been on your show saying that. We came out in February this year saying this was the beginning of the end of the Trump rally, and that's what we're seeing now. There are more negatives than positives when you add up the global economic data. And it's not only, you know, the Stansberry Institute could say all they want, and they could believe what they want to believe. We just stick with the hard facts. Look what's going on over there in France, for example, with the yellow vest spontaneous uprising. They said it was about rising gasoline taxes. Now, that was just the trigger point. The people are going broke. Take a look what's going on in Brussels. Same thing. It's a global uprising. Look what's happening in Italy with the Five Star Movement and League. They overthrew the establishment. The people are going broke. The equity markets only represent the 1%. They do not represent the entire population. You look at the GDP numbers, that doesn't tell you what the average person is earning. And when you look at what the average person is earning, in reality, it's lower than the inflation rate. So again, we're looking, particularly again, when you look at the baby boom generation and you look at the debt levels that they have and the bankruptcy numbers that are rising. No, we don't see it. The markets are a disconnect to reality. 90% of the equity markets in the United States are owned by 10% of the population. On average, are $350,000 each. The other 10% of the equity markets that's owned by the other 90% of the population only accounts for about $15,000 in stocks. I should say the fiction on Wall Street and the reality on Main Street.
So let's turn over to the precious metals. We've seen some signs of life in the yellow metal in the past few months, especially. Do you expect that theme to persist?
If they lower interest rates and keep them down, you're going to see precious metals go back up. The weaker the dollar, the more cheap money into the system, the higher precious metals go. And we have, again, I've been on your show for many years, and we had called this year the bottom of gold at $1,200 an ounce. It got as low as, what, $1,185 after we made our forecast. So that's basically it. The upside potential for gold, again, we've been saying this for now over 5 years. Gold has to break over $1,450 an ounce. That's our forecast. And again, think for yourself, you know, that's just what, the way we see it. It has to break over $1,450 an ounce. At that point, we see it spiking to over $2,000 an ounce. And things to look for: outbreak of war in the Middle East. Oil prices have come down. If oil prices spike, so too will gold spike, because the debt levels of nations are very high, and oil is priced in petrodollars. So the stronger the dollar gets, the weaker their currencies go, the more it costs them to buy energy, particularly countries like India, which 80% of their imports. India imports 80% of its energy. Its rupee right now is at an all-time low against the dollar. So it's going to cost them a lot more money to import that oil. And you could take that and go around the world with it. China, with their yuan down to a 7-year low against the dollar, one after another. So watch oil prices and look at interest rates. Those are going to be the two key elements for us that tells you where gold is going to go. Plus, number three, outbreak of more war in the Middle East. That will drive up oil prices sharply and gold prices with it.
Plus, we seem to have a bit of a glut of it here, the reserves. But hopefully you're right. Black gold will turn around. We know that will benefit the precious metals. Of course, lower black gold is good for the miners. Are you looking at any of the precious metals miners, or is that off the table?
Yeah, we don't really do that. But again, when you're talking about oil, you're 100% right. The United States has now become the world's largest energy producer. That wasn't supposed to happen until 2020. And I mentioned about the slowdown of global economies. So it's a supply and demand issue at this time. And that's why we're saying watch for what goes on in the Middle East in terms of outbreak and war. Things are ratcheting up with Israel, talking about possibly attacking Lebanon's Hezbollah. You're also seeing more and more pressure putting on Iran from the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Israel. The Yemen war out of control. So watch what's going on in the Middle East. That's going to be a key indicator, we believe, as to where oil prices are going to go, because right now there's more supply than demand.
The Bank of England refused to return Venezuela's gold. I mean, there hasn't been, as that I can find, anything like it since the end of World War II. They're supposed to be as sound as a pound. That doesn't seem to pass the smell test.
This is an attack. It's not about gold. It's an attack on Venezuela. We're hearing more and more reports coming out that the United States, according to Venezuelan President Maduro, is trying to get him assassinated. Matter of fact, you go to our November Trends Journal, and we have a whole part of the journal dedicated to what we call the Triangle of Death.
But I'm sure you saw that drone attack on Maduro. Could you imagine if any of our former presidents were at an outside meeting somewhere, and suddenly some explosive drones attacked them and exploded?
That's exactly what I'm saying. So the UK holding back gold from Venezuela has nothing to do with the whole total policy. It has to do with a war against, a plotting war against the overthrow of Maduro's government in Venezuela. And we're hearing Nicolas Maduro accusing the White House of a direct role in an assassination attempt. So that's what that's about. And again, going back to our Trends Journal, we did a whole story on the Triangle of Death. And it's about Argentina, it's about Brazil, and it's about Colombia forming an alliance with the United States to overthrow the Venezuelan government. And, you know, there's nothing new about the United States interfering in South and Latin America, is there? I mean, come on. I mean, how much history do you need to know to see the United States' influence down there? So if something like that does happen, that's going to pull a lot more oil off the market as well. Not that Venezuela is producing that much, but it will still have a very negative effect. The Trends Journal is tomorrow's news today, history before it happens. Money back guarantee, the new trend, it used to be a quarterly, now it's a monthly. You will not find this information anywhere else. It's only $129 a year. Again, money back guarantee if you don't like it, trendsresearch.com or trendsjournal.com. And, you know, as I said, you know, I'm 71 now. You know, I try to do everything I can to stay loose. And thank you, Chris. And again, thank you for all that you do.